Hey there, you're with Disembodied Podcast. This is Evie Escher. My guest this week is David Guerin, who owns The Natural Store on Balboa Island in Newport Beach. So if you are in the Southern California area, you have to visit this store. It's a crystal shop, a metaphysical store. David's a medium himself, so he gives readings and he does healings. And they also have crystal classes on how to use them and how to determine a real from a fake crystal. And they have sound baths as well, so they offer a lot, actually. And they're in such a beautiful location, right near the beach there. So check them out if you can. At any rate, we're going to talk to David about how he got started with mediumship in France and how he kind of developed along the way. We'll talk a little bit about what crystals he likes to recommend and why. And we'll also get into his conception of the universe to some extent and how he protects himself from bad energy and how he sees the afflictions that people have and tries to remedy them. So sit tight. Here we go. David, welcome to Disembodied Podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about where you're from in France. I recently met you. You're a person in my own community. Right now you have a store on Balboa Island. So I met you recently and I'm interested in knowing how you grew up in France, you know, how you kind of came into spirituality, all that stuff, just to get started.
All right. So I'm from France in Normandy, exactly. That's where I grew up. And then when I was about like 14 years old, that's when I started having like feelings, like different feelings, like not normal, I would say, where I can visualize things coming more like into spiritual. That would be the change for me. That's when it started. Exactly.
Okay. So it's kind of like going into adolescence, you changed not only bodily, but also spiritually.
It would be like more like premonition, and you think it was just like a coincidence, but it was only one, and after you have another one's coming, and you can find out it wasn't a coincidence, but it was more like a premonition of what's going to come.
What are some of the premonitions specifically that you had?
Like if I was need to be somewhere at some time for like a need of someone. So I was just thinking about just, I tried to go there, you know, ask my parents, hey, can you drive me over there? And get there on the spot, you know. So like, if I have to play any like lottery, you know, like any games kind of, and I'm going to be making money from that, so it's like I can win something from it, so I should try and play, you know, and I do it and I won, you know, something, you know. It was really like small amount, you know, like $1,000, but it was a kind of premonition. It says like, if I go and I play, I'm going to make something, and I did it in the afternoon, you know?
Wow. That's interesting. Did you have any like larger premonitions about people dying or anything like that?
So yeah, at least as long as I was growing up, I was keep seeing it. So like I was seeing on people when they was, for example, like sick without any pain. But back then I wasn't able to know where it was coming from. Like I know they have pain, but I wasn't able to say if it was from their knees, from their kidneys, headaches. And so I was seeing someone in the street, I can see their pain, but I don't know where and how. And like a month or two after, then I was seeing, oh, that's where they had the pain from. So when I grew up, I was just seeing more and more people with like pain or like emotional issues, but I wasn't able to have the answer like right away. I had to wait like a month or two before I know what was exactly. And then as long as I was growing up, it was just become like faster and faster, like reducing to like a month, like a week, and like a day sometime, like the next day, until right now where it takes me like a few seconds to find out.
And how did you increase the frequency of, you know, like finding out quickly?
He came to me, I just was keep believing me when I had the feelings and be strong enough and say to the people like, hey, I feel that for yourself. You have any pain over here? And people were saying yes and no. And then I was doing more and more, you know. I wasn't like being shy. Just I feel that is it what you have? And that's how I started, you know. And I was doing more and more, and until right now, like that's what I do, like every day. Like I can feel pain and just tell it to people. And I don't think, I feel it. I tell them.
Do you try to heal any type of pain or problems in people?
Before, when I used to be younger, I was only able to see them, like see where was the pain coming from. And until one day I say, if I can see it, I can probably fix it. And then I did it with like friends. And then things grew up where I was seeing it and like right away be able to work on it. So after, I mean, like I work on it, for me, it wasn't me, it was that God doing it. I'm like halfway in between, you know, I'm seeing what's wrong and he's taking care of it.
Did you have to explain this to your parents, or like, how did you get along with people who knew that you could tune into their pain when you were younger?
Basically, no, I was kind of keeping for myself until I came in the US later on, where I was more like open-minded and says, I have nothing to lose if I just say it to the people, you know. So when I grew up in France, I was more like reserved and wasn't sharing much. But after, when I came in the US, it was like way different for me, you know. So it was more like a free spirit going, you know, like I have nothing to lose, you know, so I'm just going to say it. So that's how it started, basically.
So did you come to California or somewhere else in the US first? California is, you know, it's somewhat tolerant and open-minded. It has its ups and downs, I guess. I often meet people who are really not that open-minded here, strangely.
After, for me, you know, like I had a case every day at the stalls, like I have a couple and then the woman is like into it. And the guy just like waiting on the side is like, I don't want to hear anything from that, you know. And I'm always playing with them like, hey, what about this pain you have over here? And he look at me like, hey, how do you know I have this pain? That's my job, you know. And then they get believes in it, you know. So.
That's funny. So do you diagnose yourself? Do you work on yourself?
Yes. Yeah, when it's needed, yeah. Yeah, after I try to see what's coming so I can avoid it. So I'm trying to keep it as clean as I can, you know. Like I see like if it's like any cold, you know, like anything like is coming. So I'm taking care of it, being very like natural, you know, using some tea, honey, you know, like so I can try to prevent this coming, you know.
And I'm curious, when you try to heal other people, are you using Reiki or some other technique?
No, because the Reiki is something you're gonna learn. You're gonna use the energies from like a stones and you're gonna be learning a technique. For me, I was born with it. So that's why we call different healing in Reiki. Reiki, you're gonna be learning a process. For me, healing, I was born with it. So that's my own energies, I'm using it with people.
And how do you protect yourself from, you know, maybe taking on other people's pain?
I'm recharging a lot with nature. That's what I do. So I recharge a lot with nature. And as long as I'm recharging it, I'm building myself like a kind of like a bubble around myself. So if I'm getting like, when I'm going to be doing the sessions, like right away, if someone have like a back pain, I'm going to have it on myself until I get rid of it. So it's going to last the day, basically. And the next day is gone. But it's going to be only temporary.
Okay. So you do this like right away. You don't even wait to clear the energy.
Right. We have some techniques where I get rid of it kind of like right away. But sometimes it needs more time, you know. So I really recharge with nature. That's how I do it.
Wow. So let's move over to mediumship. Did that coincide with kind of tuning into other people's pain when you were younger, that ability?
I think the medium was probably the beginning of it, because for me, when I was seeing like a pain, I was able to see clearly on pictures. Like I was seeing the pain where it was at. So for example, if I was seeing like a pain in the knees, you know, I was just seeing exactly where was the pain. And I think that was how I started. Like I was able to see first the pain and then after I was able to take care of it. That's how it is right nowadays when I have people coming in the stores, walking in, I'm seeing pictures of them or what needs to be worked on. And then after, the second part of it is to fix it, you know, to heal them.
And the mediumship just is, you know, is that simultaneous as the pictures? Are you channeling?
It never stops. So basically, like, I'm like 24/7 on it. So like, I'm always seeing people, I wouldn't say issues or problems, but things need to be healed, you know?
Yeah. So how have you helped yourself with mediumship? Have you channeled any spirits that have helped you?
I have a very strong mind and I'm just attracting what I want in life. So basically by thinking about it so much, it gets to me one day or another. But I would say I'm pretty lucky and my mind is really strong about it. And anything I want in life, to one point, I can have it, basically, because when I want something, I'm not going to give it up. And like a good example would be my immigration. It took me like 11 years to get my immigration fixed in the U.S. And I never gave up in 11 years, you know, just keep seeing one day is going to come and it happens, you know.
So how come you really wanted to come to the U.S.? Because I would think you could probably do a lot of what you're doing now also in Europe.
It started, I opened my first company when I was like 18 years old. And then I had some issues with customers like years later. And I had a friend says, let's go into the U.S. just to take a break from all of this. And I came in the U.S. and I liked it. You know, I like the vibes and the weather and many places. So I went back to France. I stayed a little while. I opened another company in 2014. And I wasn't feeling myself there, you know, like I know I was missing something, you know. So I just decided to come back over here. And since then, I was just back and forth, you know.
Do you miss it at all?
Not really, just my family, but the country on its own already, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that you can go back on a regular basis if you do.
Right, right, right.
So what are some transformative experiences you can talk about? I mean, you've been spiritual for a long time now. Do you have any like significant moments or things you've had to work through that, you know, kind of changed your direction somewhat?
Basically, the capacity, I think that's how we can call it, the capacity is very, very draining. And when I was younger, I was getting so much drain from it because when you're going to be doing good things, the bad side is against you all the time, fighting you back. And a couple of years ago, it was hard for me to deal with it because that never stopped. You know, so sometimes you cannot even sleep from it just because it want to try to make you quit from doing good things to the people. So at one time, I wanted to give up from it and I kind of did it. And I was getting myself just sick from it because I don't want to do my purpose of helping people. So I was start getting sick and sick and sick until I said, okay, then I'm going to get back into it. So I had like a break for that. I would say like a few years, but it didn't work out for me because I was like a purpose of helping people and I don't want to do it. Then I got issues. So I quit from it for a few years and then I went back into it. It took me some time to get back in it, but when I came back, it was like way stronger and way faster.
So when you say the bad side was trying to stop you, who's the bad side?
The bad side would be like, I would say like bad energies, like make you hurt yourself, like make you like tripping in the stairs, you know, or cut yourself, making bad things happen to you, you know, get like a flat tire in your car, get locked out of your place. Those small things, we just think it's a coincidence, but everything happened for a reason. And when you look at it and you have like someone like daily basis, something's going. And that's how I find out for myself, like I had like a bunch of small things and it wasn't for nothing, it was for a reason. And I found out just because I would say like the energies wanted me to get back into it. I would say like God wanted me to get back into it on my purpose of helping people.
So do you think that somebody was sending the bad energy to you, or do you think it was kind of like a self-sabotaging energy?
No, I just think, you know, in life you have like the yin and the yang, you know, the good and the bad. And I think it was like anyone behind that. It was just a spiritual, just like the bad side. That's how I got it, you know. Won't try to stop you from doing good things, you know. And that's why when you can fight like every day and like all the time, like 24/7, and you can show off, then you are stronger than them, then that let you go. Some like day after day, it's better and better, you know. I still have to fight every day, you know, but now I have my own protections and even like stronger capacity, you know, like people into like curses or voodoo and all of this, I'm dealing with them like every day because I'm taking care of those people who had those issues. And some people did try before on me, but my protection is like really strong. And then when they try on me, they get stronger back, you know? So it's kind of like a bubble type of deal. You know, so if they send something bad on me, they're gonna have it back stronger. That's how I'm set up right now. So.
And how did you get to that point? I mean, what did you do?
I was keep seeing like prayers on getting my protections to be built up. You know, like he says, like you can visualize to have like a bubble around yourself with different colors. That's one way of doing it. And I just think after when God wants you to be someone, he's going to help you and take care of it too, you know, because like a big part of what I'm doing is not myself. It's God doing it. You know, I'm just in between, you know.
So what is your concept of God? Because, you know, everybody has kind of a different one. I have, you know, a vague concept of God. I feel like I connect more with intermediaries rather than the concept of God. So what do you think is out there supporting you?
I think for me, like God, it would be like someone you can ask help when you need it, and he'd be there for you if you can hear it. Because some people won't always ask and ask, but they are never grateful for it, and they don't value what they have. And I think if you can really like be grateful and ready to hear it, that's mean when I mean like ready to hear it, it means like praying for it and be ready to listen. Because sometimes God's not gonna say what you want, but what is good for you. And some people are gonna like overreact from it, saying like, no, I don't want it. But does it matter if you want or not? That's God's decisions. You know, if you wake up every day, it's because of him. You know, and that's what I think. Like for me, everything I do, I wouldn't be able to do it without him, you know.
Do you have a little bit of religion attached to this concept, or do you think it's just kind of a neutral conception?
I think it's more like neutral, because everyone can be different religions. Doesn't really matter as long as you have faith. So because, you know, like, I don't know if we can go back so much far away, you know, but in the past, you know, the one we were seeing was more like a shaman, you know, like in Peru, or like the Buddhist, you know, it was those people where they had like a belief in this, in the healing world, you know, kind of, because if he was more like Catholic, he wasn't right, Muslim, he wasn't right, it was always something different. So for me, I just don't think about it. I just think like, if I had a need, I'm going to ask him and he's going to answer for me. And I just don't think about religion or who people are or whatever. Just for me, it's like the same, you know.
So did you grow up with any religion at all?
I would say more like Catholic. I was, but after I wasn't practicing much, you know. And after everyone is like free of mind of thinking what they want, kind of. Like I have my own believe, you know, and that's why I believe in God and he does everything for me. But after, I would say it's like something specific, you know, like if I want to get close to any religion, it would be Catholic, but it's getting close to it, not be in it, because I don't practice like I should, you know, like they say, you know, so.
French people are pretty known for, you know, being philosophical, you know, long history of that. And I don't think there's a heavy, like religion doesn't have a heavy grip on France anymore. So how do you perceive the French disposition towards spirituality? Do you think a lot of people are somewhat spiritual, but they just reject the idea of religion?
I think nowadays they don't think about religion anymore. Only like previous generation used to be in it. I think people now are more like open-minded and they don't really pay attention so much about religions, you know, because like nowadays it's done more like into like groups. You know, be part of the groups. They don't talk about religion anymore. We still see it, but not as much. And in France, we don't have too many types of religions, you know. So it's not like in the US where you have different groups. Over there, I would say it's more different. And I would say like over there, they don't even ask the questions because people are not into spiritual that much, only very few. So I don't know, it's because we have kind of like free healthcare. So people, when they are sick, when they have issues, they just go straight to the doctor. Then over here in the US, it's just so much expensive. Then you have to find some side ways of healing yourself.
I didn't even think about that, but maybe that's why people are so into praying.
Because American people have the faith. And because I think a big part of it just because of the cost, you know, it's just so expensive.
You're right, actually. I never really associated those two things, but it makes sense.
This and I think like people just overthink so much overseas than over here. For me, you know, like I've been to many countries, you know, and I see different people, and I just think like, I would say like in Europe is more like overthinking a lot on everything. Then over here, everything is like very smooth, you know, because we don't think about money. We don't think about consequences. It's just things that are smooth, you know. Then over there, they're going to create problems before they are there, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think sometimes there's a lack of thought here, which troubles me. Whereas, yeah, you're right. In Europe, maybe there's too much thought. I don't know.
Right.
How did you respond in general to people who, I mean, we talked a little bit about this, but how did you respond in general to people who were very skeptical of your own spirituality? I mean, did you kind of struggle with that a lot? Did you have arguments with people?
Not really, because when actually I enjoy it, when people don't believe in it, because they're going to go and look into their life and says, this happened to you last year, this happened to you like 20 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, or I'm going to go and pick up the date of birth of their kids, you know, and I say, your kid was born this day at this time, because being like a medium, I'm very precise on times, you know, because I'm traveling back and forth. So I can be there in the moment this happened, you know. So when I can tell them like, oh, you crashed with like a blue car, it was like 3:40 p.m. and you crashed the right side. And then people says like, how do you know that? I say, because that's my job. So when I actually enjoy doing it, when people don't believe in it, for me, it's like the best, you know, because then they get like, how this happened, you know?
But what do you say when people believe that mediumship is, you know, communicating with bad spirits or something like that?
I think you have both. You can do good and bad, but if you do bad, karma is going to hit you. So I just told them, like, I'm seeing what I'm seeing because I need to see it in order to do my job. Like, if I want to help you in one way, I need to know what's going on. So, like, mini healing, Reiki, they're going to see, like, stress, and they're going to work on the stress right now. But, like, how good is that? Because in 2 weeks, that's going to come back. Then for me, when I do my sessions, I go back to the roots, you know, to the base, like when this happened and why it started. And then going from that on, then I'm going to go back in the past and take care of that at the source, you know. And then when this is going to be taken care of, the rest is going to flow.
Yeah, very beneficial, actually. Instead of just treating the symptoms, you're treating the root cause of everything.
Yeah, because basically, if you do like a Reiki session, that's going to be like temporary effect, kind of. Then when you do healing, you got the roots and you take care of it. So basically, like when you move, until something new happens, that won't come back.
Do you feel that people are sometimes resistant to believing what the root cause is for their problems?
Yeah, so for me, when I do my sessions, I always mention dates and I see if people are getting it. Because like if something strong happened to you, of course, you're going to remember. So I'm just going to bring up some dates and say, oh, like in 2015, in July, something happened, remember? And if people say, like, no, I don't remember, I just let things go and I just move on. But for me, I can see what happened, you know. So if they want to share it, I'm ready to listen and speak about it. But if they don't want it, I just let things go and I move into the next one.
So you never force them to have a conversation about things?
No, because sometimes there are some people where it's too strong to bring those memories back. So I'm just go there and take care of it. So that's why sometimes I have like friends, like customers' friends coming over and he says, oh, you saw my friend, you told her a bunch of stuff and you didn't say nothing to me. And I say, I know what I need to work on. If I bring it back to your memory, that's going to be too much like dramatic for you to remember for it. So I'm taking care of it, but you don't need to remember that. There are some people where they need to remember that and cry and move on. And some of them, they don't need to because it's just like way too much for them to handle it, you know?
I can imagine. Yeah, there are some traumatic things that you repress and you just don't probably want to unearth sometimes.
Right. These are sometimes there's things that happen to them and you have to put pressure on it. Like they have to let this go. So like if something wrong happened to them, like not on purpose because it's never on purpose, but kind of like they made a mistake. I want to mention it so they don't do it again. You know, when I feel things are going to come again to them, you know, like especially with like women getting into like a circle, you know, where they have like issues and just will do the same mistake again. And the same with the guys, you know. So when I see, because I'm not seeing only in the past, but I see what's coming too. And when I see something's coming in the future, I'm going to make sure to kind of like to price on those issues. So they realize they have to take care of it. And now no way this happen again, you know.
Do you see like patterns, like certain problems that come up a lot nowadays, or is it just random with every person?
No, I would say like everyone is very individual. After the what I can see the most is like all the stomach issues, because nowadays people don't talk anymore. They just go by text. And I think that's an issue because they're just texting and keeping everything on themselves. So they keep all the emotions stuck on their stomach kind of. So I'm seeing many people with like acid reflux and stomach issues, like ulcer and all of this because of that, because they don't talk enough, you know.
That's interesting. So they're expressing themselves via text, but not fully.
Exactly. Because sometimes by a text, you can get confused and you don't know the right feelings when you have someone talking straight to you. So like back then you used to call someone and tell them, but right now it goes by text. And then you don't know how to interpret the text because you don't have the feelings, the emotions behind them. So you can get confused in some way. And then people say, oh, I think he said that and she said that. And it wasn't the meaning of it when you have like the intentions behind when you talk to someone, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The facial expressions and all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes you're just going to overthink to reply and it wasn't right. It wasn't needed, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I see a lot every day now.
Yeah, that is kind of a tragic thing about texting. Texting is so handy. It's like this instant way of communicating with people, but then you don't get the nuance of being with them and seeing if they're laughing or they're sad or angry or whatever. You have no idea what's really going on the other end.
Right, exactly. After, you can't be like everywhere at the same time, but at least just by calling, at least you can feel the emotion in their voice, you know?
Yeah.
At least it's better than just a text, you know, because you can't be everywhere, you know, especially nowadays, you know, with businesses like everywhere, you know, where you have friends everywhere. But I mean, at least having someone by calling them is better than just a text, you know?
Yeah, it is actually. It is kind of reassuring to hear their voice and you can tell if they're kidding or they're not kidding, that type of
right,
thing.
Right, exactly. Pick up just their intentions, you know. And for me, you know, I do my session as well on video calls. And sometimes just over the phone, depending on the countries. And that's how I do it. I can see their feelings from that too, you know, from their voice, from their eyes, when I can see them, you know.
Yeah, it gives you more of a visual cue of what's happening with them.
Right, right, right. So just on the voice too, you know, and just on the voice, I can pick it. You know, I can have someone on the phone, you know, and says, this happened to you, because by hearing people, you know, I are like the subconscious, like talking to me, you know, and then I can pick things on them, you know.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy doing most? Is it the healing, the mediumship? I think you do sound baths too, right?
Right. So I would say probably like I like both, because for me, like the medium and the healing, they go together, because first I'm seeing what's wrong and then after I'm fixing it. And I just want to make it clear, like I'm not fixing it, God's doing it. You know, I'm just like in between. But I enjoy doing that, because I can see when people need some help and be there to help them. You know, then some bath, and we have different events at the stores, you know, but I don't think it's not as strong as like one session, you know, like a one-to-one. I think it would be more for like more like a social events kind of, to do like some bath or something like this, than to have like some real capacity of it. I think it's just good to enjoy some relaxing time to relax yourself, but I won't take away your issues, you know.
Yeah, it's more of a subtle healing.
Yeah, kind of is like gonna help you on the moment when you're doing it. You're gonna feel relaxed and joy, but at the end, that's gonna be it. That won't last, you know. For me, like I'm seeing on what I'm doing to be on the long term, you know. Like if I do a session, I don't want to see people coming back the next day, you know. Like for me, I see it more like people coming, taking care of them, and they go on the train of life, you know.
Right. So you sell crystals too, right?
Right. So like we use a crystal. When I do my sessions, I don't use anything, just my own energies. I don't use any crystal or anything. But between sessions, the crystal is going to be there to maintain the effects going. So for an example, if I have someone that does like overthink so much, I'm going to work on them. But in between the sessions, they can use some like red jasper that's going to help them to ground themselves in between sessions. So I think that's pretty like a good balance to have them.
So would they hold the red jasper in their hand, or what do they do with it?
After they can just have like a rough, like a cornerstone and just holding it, or after they can just have like a bracelet or like a pendant and just wear it. What is matter is to have the stone touching your skin to get the effects from it.
And which stones do you think are the most powerful?
Pray the tag guys against curses and protections. Some people have some headaches from it because sometimes it's just too strong. So you need to get your body to get used to it. So I really recommend that you wear it like for like 2 or 3 days, you take it off and you put it back. But after one thing is to make sure you take care of the stones on the monthly basis. Because if you have a stone, so like it's gonna help you with like stress, anxiety, and you take care of it. If you don't, that's gonna bring you stress, anxiety. So you want to make sure you take care of the stones, you know.
Does that mean cleansing the stones or?
Exactly.
Okay. So, and what was the stone that you just mentioned?
It was a tiger eyes, or the one
Oh, tiger eye. Okay.
stress and anxiety would be like amethyst. So that's those two types, you know. After just like so many type of stones, you know.
Yeah. So you don't use selenite and some of the ones that are more popular nowadays?
Right. So after the selenite, it's considered as a light protections. It can help to recharge crystal. But nowadays, I can see more people more like for decoration because they light up. They have a nice engraving in it, so people use it more for decoration than for their purposes, you know.
Yeah, it's funny how some of them come in and out of fashion, I guess, because tiger eye used to be popular a long time ago, and now I don't seem to see it as much, but I see selenite everywhere I go for some reason.
Probably because of the price too, you know, because selenite is very, very cheap compared to the tiger eyes.
Oh, okay.
You know, in
Yeah.
the stone that you can engrave and you can shape it very easy, then that's a tiger eyes. Tiger eyes, the stone is like much more tougher to work with.
I see. So it's like a, it's got a hardness factor that's pretty high.
Right, exactly. This and the country where they come from, you know, it depends too, you know, because they come from different countries. And I think just selenite is very popular right now because it's one thing is for the price and because you can find from many countries.
Do you think that tiger eye is similar to hematite? Because aren't they both like a negative energy repellent?
Right, they are. It's just going to be for different type of people. That's why we have a different stone with kind of same effects, just because people are going to support better one to the another. So that's why you're going to have the tourmaline. It's going to be like similar to it as well, but it's just going to be like people how they can support it, because some of it, like I was saying, can have like headaches or feel like nauseous just by wearing the stones, you know.
Wow. I've asked this question of other people before, and some people don't like this question, but I mean, when you're shopping for crystals, even if they're just for decorating your house or whatever, do you think that you should buy ones that are very, somehow the color is very, I have this weird feeling with certain colors, like they're healing to me, like light green, light blue, you know, fluorite. There are certain stones that I feel like I'm really attracted to. And I used to be more attracted to like agate, you know, the like carnelian. And now I'm moving towards the blues and the greens a lot. Do you think that has meaning for people, or what do you think?
Probably yes, because more you learn about crystal and better you are at it. So we think like the agate or the carnelian is the one you see like everywhere. But when you see like the fluorites or like the some different type of stones, when you learn from it, you can see what their capacity are, and then you want to get some, you know. After days, like nowadays it's better, but people just want to buy them because it looks nice. And after the issue we have nowadays is that we've online selling, people are just going to send what they want. For us, when people come at the stores, we always bring like 2, 3 pieces of each, the one they picked, so they can pick the one they like, the one they feel the vibes from it. So like if, for example, if someone's going to come and get like a green adventuring bracelets on the showcase, first we're going to bring it from the back because it's going to be like fresh and clean. Too many places, they just give you what they have on display, and then you got all the vibes, good or bad. You can have like a thousand of people touching it and bring their vibes in it. So for us, we just pick it up from the back, and we're gonna always bring like 2, 3 bracelets, for example, and people can just put them on and try it and feel them, you know. And that's the way it should be to pick stones, you know. And when transaction is over, we're gonna put them in a separate tray and we're gonna cleanse them again the way it should be. So we just always keep our crystal are very clean and fresh. So when people have it, they can just put it on. They don't need to do anything to it.
So they don't need to charge it themselves.
No, it's ready to go because when we cleanse them, we recharge them at the same time.
Okay. And how do you actually charge them? Do you say a prayer or?
So it's different. So the base, it would be just to recharge them with like the full moon or the sun. That would be like different. And after when I do sessions and people have different needs, then I do prayers into them before I give it to them. Just so many stones is like so many ways of doing it. So, but the base is just to have them recharge for their own capacity. And after when it's needed, I can do my own prayers to have them kind of like a special bridge for them to meet their needs, you know?
So do the people tell you what they want the crystal to do or?
I got two kinds. I have people come into the stalls and says like, what do you think I need? And then I'm going to be reading them and says, that's what you need. Or that's this one. Or some people come and says, hey, I have headaches. What can I use? Or you have diabetes. What can I use? And then I'm going to guide them to the right crystal for it.
Do you think that these crystals can have a long-term effect on people? Or do you think it is more transitory, kind of short-term?
I think as long as you take care of it, you have it for life. Basically, as long as you keep it maintained, you know, it's like your car, you know, if you take care of it, that's going to last pretty long, you know. And the stones, basically, like your car is going to get old, but the stones won't, you know, it's going to be as strong as the first day, as long as you take care of it.
That's pretty cool. I like that you're, you know, willing to just give recommendations to people and, you know, that you do all the work behind the scenes, cleansing the stones and I think that's kind of a big deal, really, because a lot of shops that sell crystals, they seem to, I don't know, they even have kind of a dusty energy because they're sitting around collecting dust. You know what I mean?
that's one of the things is that I'm not going to say my store is better than others, but I was meaning I'm taking care the way it should be, then other people don't, because basically they're just going to stack them and then anyone's going to be touching it. And like you said, they're going to collect dust. And in so many stores, they have like so much that you don't know what's there for sale or not, you know. And they can even get mixed. And you think you're going to get something, you get something else. And people don't, when they don't know enough about stones, they're going to get something else, you know. So they're going to see a tag like green jasper, and maybe they're going to get like an inventory because people don't know about it.
Yeah, there are some stones that look a little bit similar, right?
Right. Yeah, like the example I took, like the green jasper. And the aventurine, they are really similar, you know. The aventurine is going to be more like a quartz you can see through, kind of. And the jasper will be like very solid, so you won't see it. But people don't know, they're going to think just it's like a green stone, you know.
Are you guys trying to create a community with your store at this point? I mean, are you trying to have events where people actually get to know each other?
Yeah, so we do like crystal classes twice a month where we teach on how to use a crystal, where they are good for it. And how to recognize them, because nowadays there is like so much fashion from it, everyone's seeing it, good or bad, fake ones from a piece of glass, you know. So we try to teach people on how to use them and see how to recognize when they are good or fake ones, you know, because since like a fashion tenants now, everyone wants crystal and they don't know what they're buying, you know? Especially when you buy online. That's like a big issue when people are gonna be buying online products and they don't know what they're gonna get, you know.
And you've got the sound bath regularly as well. So people are meeting each other through this.
Exactly, right.
You have a beautiful location there. I haven't seen your new store, but I love Bubble Island, so.
Yeah, we are on Marine Avenue. So when you pass the bridge coming from Jamboree, is the first store on the left, so you can't miss it.
Yeah, it's perfect. At any rate, I thank you so much for coming on, and we'll put a link to your store in the show notes for this episode so people can have a reading or healing with you or stop by the store.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Blessed listener, please leave your questions or comments for this episode or any other episode at disembodiedpodcast.com. Cheers. We appreciate you.